Joaquin Gage joins us. Gager, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. Not great, though.
Well, what's wrong? It's Positive Friday.
I know. It was looking positive, I'll say that, but I've dove into making my own beer lately.
Oh.
I did everything to the letter, but you get to the bottling stage and you add a little bit more sugar to get a little bit more fizz, right? Mm-hmm. And I added too much sugar. So I opened one and it just exploded. It was like a champagne cork going through. So I have to gently remove the pressure of all these bottles so I can get to this delicious IPA that I've created.
Wow, I didn't know you were a beer maker. Wow.
Just like have you ever done it? I started as a kid. And my dad, I ended up going, actually, it was my first year pro. I went to Cape Breton. And I remember coming home and thinking, oh, there's all that beer that I made, but my dad had drank it all. So that was kind of unfortunate or whatever. But no, I'm back into it. I got the kit for Christmas. And it's a lot of fun. I'm making some delicious lagers.
Oof, I like it. The closest I ever came was one of my first jobs was the Brewster's downtown when it first opened up. I worked there, and I got to go in the back with the brew guy, and one time I helped, but that was about as close as I ever came to, I think I threw a few hops in, and that was about the extent of it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like the flying frog, right, the Hammerhead Red.
Right.
A lot of classics back then, man, so it was that's nice. But, yeah, well, I can see it would be a very frustrating thing now, so you have to just open the bottle outside, right?
No, you can't even do that, man. It's crazy. I should probably video me opening one so you can see what happens.
Now, what if you open it in the sink? Like, does it go like a volcano? Are we talking explosion? Or is it just foam over? Because what if you open it in the sink and you put the bottle in like a big bowl, so now it just fizzes over the bottle, but then you can just drink it out of the bowl with a straw.
I'm sad to say I've done that too. It's terrible, but yeah. No, if you're interested, go to that. I go to Lendrum, that Winning Wines Plus, and they help you out, man.
Really? So is it good though? Because I'll be honest, like one of my uncles made homemade wine, and geez, like uncle hands it out to you, and you get it, you open the bottle, I'm just like, like no chance. I had to, I've tried homemade beer once, and it wasn't good. So is yours good? Like if you showed up at a party and you put like a label on it so it looked like it was professional, would I tell the difference?
No. You'd think this is really good.
Depends
on what type of beer you want. Like I'm an IPA guy, but okay. I would put the what I created to and give it to an actual hardcore IPA drinker, and he would say, "This is delicious."
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, it's like bread. It's not wine. Yeah, I've done the same thing. People have given me like their homemade wine. It's like drinking balsamic vinegar, right?
Yes.
It's gross.
Mm-hmm.
Beer is completely different.
Okay.
But you gotta have patience. It takes a month. You gotta wait a month before you crack it.
All right. So what about the charity dinner? Would you bring it to the charity dinner?
Oh yeah. Well, I'll bring a bottle to the charity dinner.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah. Yes. Right, we'll do that. Then we could all taste it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yes. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
I like that. Okay. Last night, the Edmonton Oilers, that's a pretty solid defensive effort. Your goaltender, his job is to make some saves, and Stuart Skinner did when he was called upon. There was there was a stretch where he went 12 minutes, didn't even get a shot. I watched him, and he was circling around. He's got to be talking to himself at that point. Okay, stay focused. Like, what do you do as a goalie, Gager, when it's 12 minutes and the puck's not even in your own zone? Like, you're just talking to yourself? What are you doing?
You're trying to find things to stay focused. And I think, as we've seen over the last, this whole season, really, is Stuart Skinner has a tremendous amount of focus and ability to stay in the game. Lots of goalies do different things. I think probably one of the most motivating factors for him was going up against Jake Oettinger, right? Considered one of the best in the league, wanting to to get one up on a potential playoff matchup, I would have to say. But man, Stuart Skinner's done nothing, but he just keeps impressing me with the maturity he shows in net, the calmness that he possesses when he makes a save. Rarely do you see him reaching for pucks still at this point. And for the most part, it's one and done for opposing players when they shoot the puck. There's not a lot of second chance opportunities. And I think you see that in everyone, the defensive structure, they have so much more faith in their goaltender. I think it makes it easier on the defenseman. They go, okay, you know what, I can allow this shot from here. And my guy back there is probably just going to gobble this up. I just got to do my job. He simplifies everything so everyone can just focus on what they have to do in their own end. It's really great.
He looks, just sound and solid, and like there's no reason why he's not going to be the starting goaltender for Edmonton come playoff time. But he was in the starter's net again today, so it looks like it'll be six consecutive starts against Seattle. And so the only question is, Gager, is when do you give him a day off? Obviously, they've got some back-to-backs, but Stuart Skinner's a young guy. He didn't play a lot in January. You know, he's on pace right now to maybe get to 50 starts, maybe. So I don't see it being a huge concern. Where is the balance for you? Would you play – because eventually you got to play Campbell at some point, right? Like, I don't think you're going to have him sitting out forever. I don't have a problem if he's the backup right now and he's the clear backup. I think everyone would agree with that. And so if Skinner starts six in a row because there's tough games, great. But you have San Jose and Arizona coming up on Monday and Wednesday. And then next week they have a back-to-back Arizona and Vegas. I'm assuming Campbell will play the Arizona one. So would you play Campbell the home game Arizona, or would you play him the home game San Jose?
I would, yeah, that's a good one. I think I'd go with the Arizona game with Jack to get him back in there. But you know what? I don't have a problem playing Stuart Skinner. I think Woodcroft can kind of go with the eye test to see how he's playing. If it looks like he's a little bit fatigued or lackadaisical net, because tell you what, Jason, I don't see it. And this is a lot of stuff. And it's not like this is the first time he's played a bunch of games in a row, right? He's done this for his whole hockey life. He's been a starter everywhere he goes, essentially. So this is nothing new to him. Obviously, he's playing at the highest level on the planet. But he looks ready for this type of thing. And you know what? When, as a coach, I think you want to give your team the best chance to win. And look, they're still fighting. I really think the Oilers, their focus should be getting home ice at least for the first round, right? And I think that's important. So right now, Stuart Skinner is giving the Oilers the best chance to win. It's a no-brainer to me. Until I see him maybe faltering and looking a little bit tired, I'm going with it, because there's nothing. Having him play at this level going into the playoffs is more important than anything else.
Walking Gage joins him at Sports Leader TSN 1260. Yeah, 100% agree with you on that. The overall defensive play of the Oilers last night, to me, there's zero concerns with their offense. It's only gotten better, actually, in January and February and March, because their depth guys are all scoring. They got three goals from him again last night. McDavid still produces, Draisaitl, Nugent, Hopkins, they're all doing it. Their offense is great. And we've seen now home game against Boston, even though they didn't win, I thought it was a very good defensive game. Home game against Toronto, home game against Winnipeg, home game against Dallas, all good teams. And I thought the Oilers as a group, not just the goaltender, but as the group, did a good job defensively. How confident are you? Like, Edmonton shows you those games, but then they have, like, the Toronto game on the road or the Winnipeg game or the Columbus. So where do you come out on? Clearly they're capable of doing it. Do you think they're capable of doing it more consistently? Those type of defensive games.
I think, sorry the pun, I've been hanging out with Gene too much, but the stars kind of aligned for the Oilers last night. So looking at the Dallas Stars schedule over the past few weeks, they've been on the road, a couple back-to-backs. I think the Oilers took advantage of a fatigued Dallas Stars team. But saying that, they still did a really good job, like you had mentioned, against Robertson and some of their top players. Like they shut them down. They didn't allow them to start feeling good about themselves. I'd like to see, like when you mentioned that Boston game, they played a team that was ready to play them too, and it was a really good game, and you could see the defensive structure that they had throughout that game quite good. Man, I know we've been talking and everyone's been talking about this guy since he's got here, but again, another influence, the calming influence of Ekholm on the back end. He's making everyone play better. It's amazing what he's been able to do in his short time here. I think he's one of the main reasons of the Oilers' defensive structure being a lot better than it has been in the past. But yeah, I don't want to get too excited about last night, Jason, just because when I looking at their schedule. But I think overall, for sure, the defensive play and awareness throughout the whole lineup has been much, much better over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and even before Ekholm arrived in January, the Oilers were quite good defensively. So I think as a group, they've shown it. There's no doubt that Ekholm, he just adds a dimension that they don't. They now have two guys in their top four that can control the game in different ways at times. And obviously, you know, Ekholm, I think, is probably a little bit more consistent, steady defensively. But it is interesting. Even with Ekholm here, Nurse is still the one getting the tougher matchups. Like last night, he went up against the Robertson line almost exclusively. And that was one of the hardest matching games I've seen Dave Manson, where you look at, there was times where they helped because they had seven defensemen, so that was a small part in it. But Nurse and CeCe, Nurse played fewer minutes, but he played a way higher percentage of minutes against the top line. And that, to me, was interesting. And now it's a little easier when you have seven defensemen because you got to rotate that seventh guy in. And so he'll take some shifts with Kulak or, you know, Desharnais and stuff like that. But it really is an advantage if they can say, hey, Bouchard and Ekholm, we know they can play really well against second, third lines and get us some offense. And we can now not have to fatigue Nurse and play him 26 minutes, but we can play him a heavy dose of minutes against the other team's top line most nights.
Yeah, I've had the ISO cam on Darnell watching how he plays, and to me, at the beginning of the year, seeing him, he almost, I don't want to say he wasn't playing hard, but there was a reserve factor, I think, with Darnell, where he knew he was going to have to play a lot of minutes, and there were certain points in the game where he just kind of, he wasn't doing everything at 100%. And I think over the last few weeks, just having just a little bit of a release valve that other defenders can go up against and play some more minutes and give him a little bit more of a break. It's funny. He looks a little bit more rejuvenated. And I don't know if I just see him jumping in the play a little bit more and being more involved, like even on the physical side. It's with Ekholm, it's not only provided the whole team, but certain players have definitely taken advantage of him being in the lineup as well.
Would you, when Hyman's healthy and McLeod's healthy, is 12 and 6, for a while there, I think the 12th forward, they were getting better production from Broberg. But now I can make a strong argument with the addition of Bukestad that the Oilers are better off to go 12-6 and take Broberg out. Where do you come in?
I like the 12-6 at this time of the year, just to give the forward group a break. And not only that, I think it's really important because, like you said, they have been doing well. Like there's been fourth, like bottom 6 minutes where they have hemmed the top players on the other team in their own zone, like getting good minutes out of those lines, especially at this time of the year. Just if they can go into the playoffs healthy, right? That's one of the main things. But also juvenile to get going and have everyone feel involved. I think that's important. I think you can get it's better having the 12-6 format that way and having those guys feel good about themselves. I really liked the 12-6. I understand 11-7, and it's nice to get the throw the other teams a little bit off, because you can do so much with McDavid and Draisaitl and different looks, and it's tough for matchups with the opposing teams. But just for this last part of the season, I'd like to see more 12-6 if it were me.
Two fun questions for you. Does McDavid reach 156 and does Nugent Hopkins reach 100?
God, I don't know how you say no to McDavid. The Nuge is interesting. I think I speak for everyone that lives in Edmonton that they would love to see Nuge hit 100 points. I hope it happens, but I think he'll get close, Jason, but I don't think that it's happening this year.
Gager, I look forward to trying your homemade beer on Sunday at our charity dinner.
Well, make sure you have some sorbet to cleanse the palate before, because it's going to be delicious.
Ooh, all right, all right. Okay, well, we'll see you on Sunday, my man.
All right, buddy.
There you go. That's Joaquin Gage. Really good dude. Gager is just as nice as he sounds like on the radio.